Genesis chapter 10, verses 21 to 32, and chapter 11, verses 18 to 26, is a text for our consideration in the topic, Beginning of God's Nation. We have been following the account after Noah's flood, when the family of Noah, with his three sons and three daughters-in-laws, gathering after the flood to build an altar unto the living God who has preserved them in that global catastrophe that enveloped the entire world, the known world at that time. And so the new world began after the flood with the bowl that is in the sky to signify that God will not judge the world again with a global flood. And a new beginning for the world. The children of Noah were commanded of God that they would go forth and overspread the earth. And so there was a good beginning. One God, one family, with one purpose, to overspread the earth for the honor and glory of God. And this was God's plan. And we saw in Genesis chapter 10, last week from verse 1 to 20, the genealogy of Noah's sons, starting from the very far off lands people from Israel to the nearer ones, the immediate neighbors, right, from Japheth to Ham, and we saw how the descendants of Ham were the occupiers of the land of Canaan. They were the Jebusites, they were the Amorites, verse 16 of chapter 10 tells us. They were the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, and the Avadites, and the Zemarites, and the Hamalites, and these were the families of the Canaanites that spread abroad. And so the Lord wants us to see and understand that all was not well, even from the beginning. Although it was well for a start, but the nature of sin in man is that corrupt. The deceitfulness of the heart of man is so well manifested to us in the historical account after the flood. We saw in verse 9 of last chapter 10 that the son of Cush, the man called Nimrod, it was described how he began to be a mighty man on the earth, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And there was a time when it is described that was the beginning of his kingdom. Men began to rule over men, to oppress men, to violate the interests and rights of men. That was here given the beginning. The beginning of the kingdom of Babel. And you would see later on in chapter 11 how this movement became more and more rampant, that it would envelop the entire earth. Corruption has that effect. the power of the nature of sin in man has that effect. And as we study this account, it causes us to have an idea of the sinfulness of sin, the power of sin in the life of mankind. And it also gives us a picture of how rapidly mankind can degenerate itself. How many generations are we speaking about? Well, you can count them almost by your fingers. From Noah to his children, you would see that the corruption, the deterioration comes and it permeates and it influences, and the corruption becomes so permeating that it seemed to have again enveloped the earth. But does God not have a solution for His people? Is God not pitiful and compassionate and merciful towards His people, drowned in the misery of His own corruption and sin and unrighteousness? You would find that God is merciful. God did not leave man to his corruption, but God provided a way out by His mysterious providence. And this we will see today through the lineage of Shem that is given to us in verse 21 of our text in Genesis chapter 10. And unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. And so we are going to trace the lineage from Shem to Eber. Eber, who would have two children. Verse 25 of our text tells us, two sons. One is called Peleg, and the name Peleg means division. He was named Peleg because the earth was divided at that time. Verse 25 of Genesis chapter 10 tells us. And this division, we will study it next Lord's Day in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. One city and one tower. Very interesting. As you look at the cities of the world and the towers of the world. Well, it has a beginning, you know. And where that beginning, you would see, annexed itself in the life of men who seek to move away from the presence of God. And so here in chapter, the last portions from verse 21 to 32, we would see the lineage of Shem. How it led to the call of Abraham, the man whom God will use to begin His nation, the nation of Israel. It is indeed, as you look at it, all by the grace of God. You know, you coming to know God out of the idolatry of the previous generation. Well, it's my own testimony too. Only by the grace of God that we can be plucked out of idolatry and to be delivered by the mercy of God to find life, eternal life, and the escape from the miseries, the debaucheries of sin in our life. You turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 and verses 2 to 3. Joshua 24 and verses 2 to 3. You'll be able to see, even from the descendants of Shem, they were also idolaters. They were also idolaters. Joshua 24 in verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people. Now, the book of Joshua is written to account for the entry of the nation of Israel into Canaan, where they would be established as a nation. So Joshua was the commander of the Lord's army who led the people of Israel into the land of Canaan, overcoming the immoralities, the idolatries in the land, and to establish God's kingdom through this nation of Israel. But look at their descendants. Joshua reminded the people in verse 2 of Joshua 24. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah. Okay, you put your mark here, Terah, who is the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. They served other gods. Right, so you put a mark here and you turn back to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And you would be able to see from verse 24. Right, who is, or verse 22, who is Nahor. Right? Nahor was the was the father of Abraham, right? His father was Sirach, right? Sirach, and Nahor's grandfather was Ru, right? And Ru was the son of Peleg, right? Remember, Peleg was born during the time of the scattering. Next week we'll be speaking about the scattering. Okay, so how many generations, if you count, from Peleg to Ru to Sarach to Nahor and then to Abraham? Five, six generations. You would see here that from then they don't know God. So Joshua wrote there, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. So here, God did a work of grace in saving Abraham. When he was saved, you will see that there was a sanctifying influence with the family. Nahor, Terah. And this is the story of the account of Abraham's ancestors as given here in verse 24. 4 of Genesis chapter 11, so that we would be able to see the link and the story here. Verse 24, it says here, and Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. So 29 years old when the son was born. Not too far from our time. And Nahor lived, after he begat Terah, 119 years. Wow, so the age is much longer. Right? And begat sons and daughters, 119 years. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So Nahor, Haran, and Abram were brothers. Okay. Now these are the generations of Terah. That's the father. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, Haran, and Haran begat Lot. So Lot was the one who traveled with Abraham to Canaan. And Haran, which is Lot's father, died before his father Terah in the land in Ur of the Chaldees. So that was where they lived, the land of their nativity. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, Sarah, whom we know. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. And here is interesting, that is written in verse 30. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. It's interesting that when God gave the command for Noah to repopulate the earth, to overspread the earth, how there was great abundance, in a sense, a great fertility. And there were many descendants that came. But as you look at Abram, who also was a man who spiritual eyes were opened by the grace of God, just like Noah. Remember, it is said, it was described for us that Noah found grace in the sight of God. Genesis chapter 6. Abram also, but Abram here is described that they have no children. Sarai was barren. Where will the descendants come? Where will the nation come if there is no descendant? You realize how God works in a mysterious way. That His grace permeates through history as His plan is slowly revealed to us. It's as if evil is going to have the upper hand and evil is going to envelop the earth, that corruption will be the norm. And then suddenly God overturns everything. You see the semblance here before the flood. The whole earth was filled with evil. And is it not our experience also today? It seems things are really out of control. It seems that corruption has its way in society. And as we struggle in that sense to live for God, we struggle with sin in our own lives, struggle with the temptations that the world hurls upon us. And we struggle with the attack of the evil one, seeking each time to devour our witness. How precarious. And so as you look at the backdrop each time of the world, you would also see that God's grace does not fail. Although the picture may seem bleak, that evil seems to rule the day, and yet the Lord wants us to know that He is still on the throne, that He is very much alive, and that He will prevail, that righteousness will prevail, that we may not be disheartened, we may not become discouraged to see the corruption that is around us, to see the almost lost cause of God with His people. And yet, you would realize that all is not lost. The darkness is greatest before dawn, right? Or at dawn when the first light comes. Great darkness. And the Lord wants us to know, and here is recorded for us, what God is doing in human history, so that we will have faith to trust God, that He will always make for Himself a remnant, that righteousness will prevail, and that we would be privileged, though weak, though small, but we are the people of God. And we have with us the Word of God. When God would call Abram to separate himself from the city life, from the life of this world, the entanglement of the life of this world, so that he will begin a people for God, separated unto holiness. He worked for us to see. And this is what we understand. Verse 30 of Genesis 11. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram and his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. Haran has died by now. So Terah, the grandfather, brought Abram, which is a son, with his nephew, Lot, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah, that was grandfather, were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And so here is described for us that history, the beginning of God's nation through Abraham. And we know how God's plan was this. to create a nation that will be a witness to all the nations of the world. And what distinguishes this nation, God's nation that would be raised, we saw in our memory verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 5 to 6. Behold, I taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, Moses says, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What was the secret? God's grace is founded in the Word of God. The statutes and judgments of God revealed to us, written, passed down to the generations. This is the wisdom. This is the understanding that we can find life with God through His Word. And that was how God would use Abram to begin the nation of Israel, who will be a witness, a nation who will stand out as God's nation to all the nations of the world. And this account of our origin, which we have been studying since the beginning of the year, was given in 1450 BC to Moses at Mount Sinai. Our origin, how do we know? Where do we come from? How do we know the corruption that is in us? How do we know the power of God in salvation, in redemption? But God recorded for us the redemption history so that we may learn and know the privilege we have as God's children. How wondrously and how marvelously we have been saved of God. How we have been brought from idolatry to become God's people. How we were gloriously saved. And the Lord, through this account, provides for us the lineage, the movement of God's grace by which He shows us that He is very much alive and He is very much in our midst to wrought a good work of grace in our lives, in our generation, amongst our families here, that we are the people of God. God's nation. Where is God's nation today? Well, God has resurrected the nation of Israel on the 14th of May, 1948. But most of the nation do not know their God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But where is the witness of God? It is in His church. The remnant that began when Messiah was rejected. This is the church. that began at Pentecost, whom God has raised. This is the remnant. This is the work of God's grace. And God is working out His grace through the lives of your families and mine in saving souls out of idolatry, out of corruption. And as we see the work of God in the past, it must cause us to reflect upon what He's doing in our time, so that we do not lose hope, so that we may not become discouraged to see the hardness of human heart, to see the corruption of human nature around us, so that we may take heart to be God's witness in a faithless world, that we may be the people of God. In our weekly, we saw the testimony of Daniel during the time of Israel's 70 years of captivity in Babylon. The nation was supposed to be God's people. God created them. And how they fell out with God. Isn't it the same story? From the beginning to the time of Noah's flood. From the flood to the Tower of Babel, from the scattering after Babel to the call of Abraham to begin the nation of Israel, to the corruption of the nation of Israel. And yet, you see, God has for Himself a remnant. Daniel was a captive in Babylon, the capital city of idolatry. And yet, he thrived during that time in Babylon. The king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And God was to reveal through that dream the political history of the world. What a revelation. And how God, by His grace, answered the prayer of Daniel. Well, he was a captive, no power. But what was the difference in Daniel's life? Well, he was a man who sought to keep himself pure from the idolatries, the corruption that was around him. And how God used him. God answered his prayer. God gave him the secret, as it were, as Daniel described, the secret of the darkness that is in this world. He revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and how for the people of God, the light dwelleth with us. And how God make for himself a remnant out of no way. God, by his mysterious providence, make a way. And this is the encouragement to us, the people of God, that we must keep following him, to keep walking with him, and that we would have the hope that is within us, that God's grace will prevail. And so as we look at the history of the nation of Israel, the beginning and the ancestors, and how God worked and wrought a work of grace to begin this nation, we also thank the Lord how he protected and how he raised up a witness for himself here in this place. 6 years ago, the Lord raised up a witness for himself. And the Lord has given us a mandate to be his people and to go forth to make disciples for him. We have not forgotten. The path seemed to be more and more difficult. And yet, as you study the Bible, you would see this is not new. But God's grace will prevail. And therefore, the people of God must persevere. Thank God we are open for worship. And by the grace of God, as the Lord allows us, we will continue. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy grace in raising up this witness for thee. O God, I pray that thou would help thy people to see the great privilege that we have as thy people, and how we are to be assembled together as a body of thy people, as the ship. The sailor must be with the ship. The members must be in the church. May thou be gracious to work the work of grace, to help thy people to understand thy holy will, and to have the courage, the grace to obey. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.